Count Troy Rankin, as he joins us now, our Denver 7 Insider, presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air. Troy, will the George Payton inaugural draft be graded an incomplete until we see what happens after June 1st?
I mean, that's fair. Obviously, this quarterback situation hangs over the draft because they passed on Fields. I know they really like Lance. They liked Fields. They didn't love him. They loved him. They would have taken him at 9 with them. But Peyton thought the best value at that point was Pat Surtain. But there is a bit of an incomplete. I've said this. I don't think it's fair to Pat Surtain because he's a terrific player. He is going to help them. He's going to play nickel and dime. He'll probably be a number one corner next year, I would think. And he's going to start some this year given Bryce Callahan's health issues the past 3 years. But the quarterback situation continues to hang over this franchise. They've had 10 quarterbacks since Manning. They haven't averaged more than 20 points a game since Peyton retired. So all the talk of the defense, it runs and rings just hollow until they can prove offensively they're functional. And this Aaron Rodgers thing's not going away. It doesn't mean they're getting him, but it still exists as a possibility that the Packers, as we saw with the Texans and Deshaun Watson, the Packers at some point would have to make the decision they're going to move him. They're not there yet, but they might over the next month realize this relationship's not repairable, and they decide to make a move. As of now, they have not made that decision. But until that's resolved, it's going to hang over the Broncos offseason, and it directly influences how you see the draft.
Okay, right.
All right, go ahead, Cecil.
Well, and here's the thing. We now hear the reports and the buzz is that Aaron Rodgers wants Brian Gutekunst fired. If there's any way for him to repair that relationship, I don't necessarily know that to be true, but that's what we're hearing. Troy, I know, in my opinion, this Rodgers thing is kind of being reported wrongly by some, either trying to cover up for the team or trying to cover up for the Packers or whatever. What do you know and how things went down or didn't go down? What do you know about the Rodgers situation as we sit here a few days away from when we first learned about it?
Well, it took a lot of people by surprise in the NFL. I mean, not that, you know, Rodgers' relationship has been uneasy slash strained since the end of the season. And his beautiful mystery press conference about his future was the first sign of, man, things don't feel right. Most viewed it as at that point as, you know, him trying to angle for a new contract. And then he didn't renegotiate his bonus in his contract. That's where the second sign was, this is interesting because it's not going. There seems to be some acrimony here that exists from the previous draft of Jordan Love. What I know about the Broncos, they have interest in Aaron Rodgers. Who wouldn't? There'd be like 27 teams that have interest in Aaron Rodgers, frankly. It happened at 2 p.m. Mountain Time. The first round of the draft begins at 6 p.m. So they were taken back like, wow, of course we'd have some interest, but three first rounders, you know, that's what was being floated. To put together that kind of deal in essentially 3.5-4 hours after they had just acquired Teddy Bridgewater, to say the least, was complicated. And so they called it. One of these things about trades, and I learned this from baseball, do you have to talk to directly to another team's GM to say you expressed interest? There's a lot of third parties involved where you call someone, maybe it's an agent, who then calls the team and says, hey, I know this team's interested. So there's some nuance and semantics to this. Of course, the Broncos had some interest. Did they, you know, were they able to make a move on it? It was the way it was explained to me, Cecil, from my sources on it. It was just happening too quickly that within 3.5-4 hours, they weren't prepared to give up what they thought was going to be three first rounders, maybe a young player, for something that had happened, you know, again at 2 p.m. Mountain Time on Thursday. But that doesn't necessarily close the door on it now if the Packers make him available. The Broncos don't have the 9th pick as leverage, but the other teams, if that's Vegas, they don't have that, you know, their pick either. So you're dealing with future first rounders, and it would likely involve a young player you really like because you no longer have that 9th pick as the centerpiece of a deal.
Visiting with Troy Rank, our Denver 7 insider, in talking to people over the weekend, did you get any sense as to why they passed on Fields? Why they may have liked Fields but didn't love him? Was it anything in the evaluation, the breakdown of this guy that caused them to say no thanks?
Yeah, ultimately, they just saw enough from the tape that you know, when you see so watch his film, I mean, like, use words like, Is it polished? Is it clean? Is it right there? Like, they just weren't comfortable with what they saw from Fields, both on tape and in his pro day, to feel like we have to have this guy. You know, were there other stuff involved about, you know, I mean, you hear stuff about, would this guy deal with the pressure of coming in here and all those different things? I don't know about that. I mean, I've watched Justin Fields since he was high school. I'm not sure that any of that concerns me. The issue, Mike, also is this. Vic Fangio clearly didn't want a rookie quarterback. Why would he? He's coaching for his job. And they get Teddy Bridgewater. You know, if they had to do it over again for me, now they're getting Bridgewater to protect themselves going into the draft. I think with Bridgewater, because of Peyton's history with him, it might have influenced it even more. If you're a little uneasy about Fields, he gets Bridgewater, a guy he knows, and it's like, well, we're really comfortable with this. This other thing's a great unknown, meaning Fields. So to answer your question, they just weren't locked in on him. Like Sertan, you could tell the way Peyton talks about him, that was his guy in the draft. He loved him. And when he was available at 9, a guy he thinks should have gone to the top 5, that was an easy decision. When he would talk about these quarterbacks, and what I was told by sources, he just wasn't there on Fields. And those are decisions you live with as a GM. Now, if they're able to get Aaron Rodgers, nobody cares. But if Fields goes on to Chicago and plays well, Pat Sertan's a wonderful player, I think, can be a Pro Bowler, but he's not a quarterback. And that's a great multiplier if Fields turns out to be good.
He'd be the first Chicago quarterback to play well since, what, Sid Luckman? Troy, I got to ask you, because I know, brother, that you love great stories. So is Quinn Meinerz your favorite player now? And do you have one of his Belly of the Beast t-shirts? Have you ordered that already off his website?
Yeah, I love the Quinn Meinerz story. To be a D3 athlete to play in the NFL is rare. I mean, what was the tackle they had from Arizona that finished with the Packers? I can't remember his name. He was a D3 guy for the Broncos.
Allie Marpet. When I saw Quinn Meinerz at the Senior Bowl, I was like, this is like when I saw Allie Marpet at the Senior Bowl. And just to get that invite, Troy, from D3 to that game, and the times in the 15, 16 years I've been going to the Senior Bowl, I can count D3 players on one hand of a bad woodshop teacher. That's my Troy Rankism right there.
Yeah, I like that one. That's good. That's good.
Yeah, I texted Dalton Reisner about him. I said, you guys seem like kindred spirits. And he said, you know, he's welcomed into the family and he's looking forward to working with him. The thing I appreciate about it, like the Paul Bunyan type story is fascinating. And for us in the media, it's great. We root for stories. This kid's a great story. But when you peel away the layers of that, the reality is, as you just mentioned, Cecil, it's rare to get an invite as a D3 guy. And then he goes there, breaks his hand, and dominates guys wearing a club
yep.
on his hand. He's dominating drills. So that's the part of the story. Like, to get there is one thing. And then deal with adversity where it'd be just like, Dan, maybe this just isn't meant to be. He still goes out and dominates. So they see him at center initially. That is the plan. So he would compete for snaps at center. He'd be the backup behind Cushenberry. Because I thought they might try to move some guys around. Maybe you move Glasgow to center this year and put Mute at guard. The plan is to go with Cushenberry at center, Glasgow at right guard, and then Miners would be the backup center, at least on paper, right now. But what a story. An easy guy to root for. Even him and his gut, it's an easy guy to root for, certainly.
I can appreciate a guy with a big gut that he's not afraid to show off. Troy, thank you very much.
You got it, guys. Take care. Have a great show.
Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Insider. He is presented by ROX, Rocks Heating and Air. And we're going to get to question Cecil here